Welcome back, everybody, to Amud Yomi. Today we are up to Daf Samach Amud Aleph 68, but we are on the bottom of Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis. So just to finish off something that we mentioned yesterday, we were talking about the difference between Shachrianu and the Bracha of Hatova Ametiv. And Hatova Ametiv is when you have a Bracha for many people getting a benefit, and Shachrianu is when there's more of a personal benefit. So we pointed out the last proof to try to show whether you can make Hatova Ametiv if it's just one person benefiting was about the situation of wine, where we say a bracha, if you bring out a better wine in the middle of a meal, it's one person drinking alone, and he's the only person getting a benefit. So the Gemara answered, no, he's eating with other people. Tosos over here points out something very important, and he says, if you're by yourself drinking wine, so it seems like you wouldn't make any bracha. Why would you not make a shachianu? If with many people you're going to make hatova metiv, why with one person would you not make a shachianu? So he points out that it still needs to be something new. And that's something which is very important. When it comes to shachianu, it needs to be something new as well. So that's just to finish off that idea. But now we're going to get into the next part of the Mishnah, which is talking about shachianu with bana bayis chadash v'kana kelim chadash. That if you buy a new house or if you get new clothes, fancy clothes, then you would make the shachianu. So it says the Gemara, Maravuna, Ravuna says, lo shanu ela she'in lo kayotze bahen. This only applies where you have not gotten something like this before. Now notice how we've just said she'in lo, that you don't have, not that you haven't bought anything. So Rashi explains that we're talking about a situation where you have not yet inherited anything like this. So you have nothing like this, that's when you're going to make a shachianu, when you get this new house or new clothes, when you've never had anything like this. Aval yesh lo kayotze bahen eino tzarech levarech. But if you do have something similar to this, let's say you inherited a nice suit, now you bought another nice suit, so then you would not make a shachianu in that situation. V'Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, and he says afilu yesh lo kayotze bahen tzarech levarech. But even if you did have these clothes previously, let's say you did inherit a really nice suit, now you bought another new nice suit, so then you would make this bracha of shachianu. But what seems to come out from this first version of the machlokas is the mikad the chikana v'chazar v'kana divrei akol in tzarech levarech. Our whole machlokas was only if you've inherited something before and now you're buying it, but not in a situation where you've once bought it and then you bought a new one, because you've already had that feeling of what it's like to buy something, so you've already made that shachianu. In that situation where you've bought something before and now you're buying something again, so in that situation everyone seems to agree you would not make the bracha of shachianu. Yikad amri, but there's another version of this machlokas. Amar Ravuna, Ravuna says lo shanu ela shelo kana v'chazar v'kana. We only say that you should make a shachianu when you have not bought and now you are buying again. So if it's a situation where you've bought aval kana v'chazar v'kana ein tzarech levarech, but if you've already bought this type of thing, now you're just buying another one, you would not make a shachianu. Rabbi Yochanan says no, afilu kana v'chazar v'kana tzarech levarech. Even if you bought, you returned something and you bought it again, in that situation you would make a bracha. Now this is different than the first machlokas. The first machlokas was that if you re-bought something, you bought something for the second time, no way you're going to make a bracha. The only shaila is when you've inherited it the first time. Now we're saying the machlokas is even if you're rebuying something, in this situation Rabbi Yochanan would say that still you would need the bracha of shachianu. Says the Gemara Mikal, the chiyesh lo v'kana, what it implies is that if you've already have it through inheritance, and now you bought it, meaning you've never bought it before, this is your first time buying it, even though you might have it already through inheritance, it comes out that everyone agrees that you would need to make the bracha of shachianu. So now the Gemara asks a question on this second version of the machlokas. So Meisve, we have a challenge from a braisa. Let's say someone built a new house for themselves, they never previously inherited a house like that. Or if they bought new clothes and they never had an inherited suit that was so nice, so you need to make a bracha of shachianu. But if you have already inherited a house or similar clothing, then you do not need to go ahead and make this bracha. Different Rabbi Meir, that's the shita of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says, whether you have inherited something or not, you are going to make a bracha. Now, this is a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. These are Tanaim. As opposed to what we saw earlier, Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan, those are Amoraim. So if the Machlokas Amoraim is going to be the same thing as the Machlokas Tanaim, the Amoraim must have something, or at least a Shita, that is supported in the Tanaim. So now the Gemara is going to say, we have to understand this Machlokas in light of this new Machlokas in the Tanaim between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. It seems like this Machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, is only in the situation where you inherited it first, and then you bought it after that. That's where the Machlokas is, whether you need a bracha. But it seems pretty clear from this Brisa that if you once bought it, now you're buying again, there is no way you would need to make another bracha. So now says the Gemara, Bishlamo Lishna Kama, if we're going to say the first opinion of the Machlokas is correct between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan, that the whole Machlokas is when you've inherited first and now you're buying again, so then it makes sense. Rav Huna Krebi Meir, Rabbi Yochanan Krebi Yehuda. The Shitas fit in with one another. El Lishna Basra, but according to the second version, which is what we mentioned, that it's even a Machlokas if you bought once and now you're buying again, whether you make a Shachianim, Bishlamo Rav Huna Krebi Yehuda, so Rav Huna fits in with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan, Damar Kiman. But Rabbi Yochanan, who would be saying that you would still make a Shachianu if you bought once and now you're buying again, who would he be holding like? No Shita says that. Lo Rabbi Meir, Lo Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda both don't say that. So we need to have someone who he can align his Shita with, but there is no one. We actually paskin in Shulchan Aruch. It sounds like we hold like the second version of Rabbi Yochanan, that even if you bought something once and you buy another nice thing, then you would need to make a Shachianu. So something like buying a really nice suit. If it's a really nice suit, then you would go ahead and make a short sort of Shachianu based on this. But now ask the Gemara, who is the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan supported by? So answers the Gemara, Malach Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan would tell you, Rabbi Yehuda, kana v'chazar v'kana, nami tzarech levarach. That really Rabbi Yehuda would hold that if you bought it once and now you're buying it again, you still need to make a Shachianu. Also, then why was the machlokas about in a situation where you inherited it once and then you bought it the second time? If it wanted to teach us that you could buy it a second time, it should have said that. So answer the Gemara, no, lo diach hakochol de Rabbi Meir, because it wanted to teach us how far Rabbi Meir takes his shita, da'avil kanav yeshlo in tarach levarach, that even if you've only once received it through an inheritance, now you're only buying it for the first time, even in that situation, Rabbi Meir would hold, you do not need to make a bracha. And of course, all the more so, if it's your second time buying it, of course you're not going to make a bracha of Shechianu. Ask the Gemara, v'lif legu, b'kana v'chazer v'kana de'in tzarech levarech, lehodiach ha'kochol de Rabbi Yehuda. So if we're going to be saying that we wanted to just highlight one of the shitas, why not just highlight the shita of Rabbi Yehuda? Why not teach the case where they bought it for the second time and still lehodiach ha'kochol de Rabbi Yehuda, that even in that situation, Rabbi Yehuda would say that you need to make a Shechianu. So once we're highlighting a shita, why not highlight the shita of Rabbi Yehuda? So answers the Gemara, koach the hetera adifle. In general, when we're trying to highlight a shita, we try to highlight the shita that is more makel, because it's easier to just say machmir no, the answer is no to everything, but it's more impressive to be able to be a makel, so that's what we want to highlight. Now the Gemara goes on to the next part of the Mishnah, Mevarech al hara. So the Mishnah said that we should make a bracha on the bad things, even though they have a potential to be good for you. So hechidami, what's an example of this? Going to shakal b'deka ba'are. So let's say there was a big flood that swept through the land and it was all over your crops. Afagav d'tava hiludidei. So even though eventually this is going to be good, demaska ara sirton v'shavcha, that it's going to get some nutrients and it's going to end up being good in the long run, hashtami arai. But right now it ruined your crops for this year, so it's not a good thing. So you're going to make the bracha baruch dayan ha'emes. V'yala tova, and we said that you make a bracha on good even though it has potential to be bad. So hechidami, what's this situation? You go into Ashkach Metziah, where you found someone who lost, you found money that was lost, and other people were there. Afagav derayi yigudidei, even though this could potentially be bad for him, why could this be bad? De'ishama b'malka shakyolimine, because if the king hears that you found money, and the other person goes and tells the king about this, he's going to take the money, and he's going to take more from you. Hashta mi'a tovahi, but for right now, you found the money, so it's a good thing. Then the Mishnah said, ha'isa ishto mi'uberes v'amar yiratzon sheteled v'chu, harei zu tfilashav. So the Mishnah said that if your wife is pregnant, and you say, I want to make a tefillah that my wife is going to have a baby boy, so this is a wasted tefillah. It's a tefillah that means nothing. Mahani Rachman. The Gemara says, therefore, extra tefillah is not going to help in this situation. But ask the Gemara Masiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks the question. The Pasuk says, V'achar yalda bas v'tikra shema Dina, that Leah had a daughter and named her Dina. My va'achar, what's this word va'achar? What's it talking about? After what? So Amar Rav explained, La'achar shadana Leah, din ba'atzma va'amra. So Leah was thinking to herself, Shnei masar shvatim asidim latzis miYaakov. There are going to be 12 shvatim from Yaakov Avinu. How do we know this? From Ruach HaKodesh or whatever it may be. Yaakov is going to have 12 shvatim. Shishi yatsu mimeni, I already have 6 boys. Va'arba min ha'shvach, and the Shvachos, Bila and Zilpah already have 4 between the two of them. Hare Asara, that's 10. Im ze zachar lo te'achos, y Rachel ka'achas ha'shvachos. If I have this 7th boy, then Rachel's not even going to be like either Bila or Zilpah. It's going to be so embarrassing. Yan nefchel ba'sh nemar ba'tikra shema dina. So immediately, the fetus was changed into a female, and that's why she had a daughter and named her Dina. But what we see from here is that it does switch. So you could daven to have a boy as opposed to a girl. You could switch the gender even once the baby is conceived. So answer the Gemara, no, don't bring a proof from there, because ain't maskir and maasin nisim. Just because that was a miraculous event, don't bring me any proof from there. Or we can answer, or this incident with Leah took place within the first 40 days. During the first 40 days, where the gender is not yet determined, then you could daven. Kiditani, as the Brisa says, shloshi yamim arishonim, within the first 3 days after the bia. Yivaki shadam rachim, you should daven that the sperm and the egg can go and create an embryo. From 3 days until 40 days, yivakish rachem shei zachar. Then you could daven that it's going to be a male. From 40 days until 3 months, yivakish rachem shei sandal. You should daven that it doesn't become a sandal, meaning that there's not another embryo that forms that makes the first baby deformed. Mishlosha chadashim v'atshisha, from 3 months to 6 months, you should daven yivakish racham shol yenefa. You should daven that there shouldn't be a miscarriage. Mishisha v'atisha, from 6 months until 9 months, yivakish racham sheyitzi b'shalom. Then you daven that everything goes well. So it could be that this prayer happened within the first 40 days, and that's why Leah was able to potentially switch the gender. Mimahane rachmei. But his prayer is davening going to help within the first 40 days. Va'amar of Yitzlak, Breder of Ami, Ish Mazriya Tchila, Yoledes Nekeva. Isha Mazras Tchila, Yoledes Zachar. Shenemar Isha Kitazriya V'yalda Zachar. So does Tfila really change anything in this situation in terms of having a male or female? We know Chazal teach us that if the male, gets pleasured first, then you're going to have a girl. If the woman gets pleasured first or emits something first, whatever it may be, seemingly if she gets Hana first, then you're going to have a male child, as the Torah tells us, as the Psukim seem to imply. So it has nothing to do with the Tefillah. It's just dependent on who's gets pleasured first. So answers the Gemara, "Chavmai askina kigonchiz riu shnehem bevasachas." Now we're talking about a situation where it was happening simultaneously, and that's where the Tefillah is going to help. Now said the Gemara, "Mishnah hayababa derech," that if someone was traveling along their way and they heard screaming in the city and they said, "I hope this is not my house," this is also a Tefillah Shav, because either it is your house or it's not your house. It's already done. You shouldn't be davening for that. So Tan Rabbanan Rabbi Sons of Rabbi Sons, Hazakin, it once happened with Hillel Hazakin. Shayababa derech v'shama kol tzvach ba'ir. He was coming home, and he heard a major sound of screaming in the city. Amar muftach ani she'ein zeh b'soch beisi. I am sure that this is not in my house. V'alav akasav omer, mishmu ara lo yira nachol nibo batuach b'ashem. Because the pasuk says, of evil things, we will have no fear, because my heart is firm in emuna and bitachon b'ashem. So Hillel trained his family that if bad things are happening, he wouldn't yell. So that's how he knew that it was not his house, but it wasn't necessarily a tefillah, saying that it shouldn't be my house. Amar Rava Rava says, kol yechid darash l'haikra. However you want to interpret this pasuk that we just pointed out, that evil things will not happen, and I have bitachon. Whether you want to do meireshe l'seife midrash, if you want to do it from beginning to end, or miseife l'reshe midrash, either way is going to be a good way to expound that pasuk. Meireshe l'seife midrash, if you want to go from beginning to end. So it means mishmur ralo yiram matam. I'm not worried about bad things. Why? Because nachon li baba tuach b'ashem. Because I have bitachon. Miseife l'reshe midrash. So let's say you want to do it backwards from end to beginning. So you say nachon li baba tuach b'ashem, that I have confidence in Hashem, and therefore mishmur ralo yira. Therefore, I'm not afraid of bad things happening, of bad news, because whatever's going to happen, it's from Hashem. Now we have a story about anxiety. I would tell me to dava kazo basre Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi b'shuka Tzion. So there was a certain student who was following Rabbi Yishmael b'reid Rabbi Yossi in Tzion. Chazi to come b'fachid, and Rabbi Yishmael saw that the student was just really anxious. Amar lein, Rabbi Yishmael said to him, chataat, you are a sinner. Tisiv pachadu b'tzion chataim, because it says that sinners are afraid. Amar lei v'aksiv ashrei adam b'fachid tamin, but the student said back, doesn't the pasuk also say that it's praiseworthy to be afraid? So Amar lei, I would be divrei toriksiv. So Rabbi Yishmael said, that's only regarding Torah. You should be concerned that you're going to lose your Torah, that you're going to forget your Torah. That's when you should be afraid. But otherwise, in terms of other things that are going to happen, have emuna, have bitachon. Again, much easier said than done. Another story. Rabbi Yehuda bar Nasanava shakti v'alza basrei de Rav Hamanuna. So Yehuda bar Nasan was going along following Rav Hamanuna. Itnach, and he sighed. Yehuda bar Nasan sighed. Amar leis, Rav Hamanuna said to him, Yisurim boi ahu gavra la'atuye nafshe. You want to bring bad things upon yourself? Tiksif ki pachad pachati v'yesayeni v'asher yagorti yavoli. Pasuk seems to be that when, because you sighed, bad things happen. But Yehuda bar Nasan said back, but it's good, it's a praiseworthy thing to always be fearful. So answers Gemara, no, again, I would be very Torah ksiv. Now that was only referring to things of Torah. You should make sure to protect your Torah. Now the next part of the Mishnah said, Hanichnas lakrach. So if someone enters a dangerous city, he should daven twice. And Menaz, I said, you should do four times, twice when you go and twice when you come. So Tan Rabban and Rabbi Sons of Rice, what should you say when you enter the city? You should say, Nichnas Omer Modani Ofanecha Hashem Elokai Shechnasti Lekrach Zel Shalom Bikesh Lotzis Omer Yirat Somo Fanecha Hashem Elokai Vokei Avosai Shetotzini Mikrach Zel Shalom Yatsa Ama Omer Modani Ofanecha Hashem Elokai Shetotzini Mikrach Zel Shalom Ukshim Shetotzini Shalom Kaf Tovi Chenu Shalom Vizis Mechenu Shalom Vizatidinu Shalom Vizatidinu Mikaf Ko Oyev Orev Baderach. So it just gives a list of the four tefillos you would make to make sure that you go and come in peace. Now says the Gemara, Amar of Masna, Rav Masna says, Lo shanu ela b'krach she'ein donim v'horgin bo. The only time that you would need all these tefillos when going into this dangerous city is in a situation where a city does not judge first and then kill. Meaning, if you're accused of something, that they would just kill you right away. In that situation, you got to have these tefillos. B'krach she'donim v'horgin, but if you're in a place where they do have some sort of justice system, less lamba, then you don't have to worry about it, because even if you're accused of something, hopefully someone will come to your defense. Ikada Amri Amar of Masna, there's another version of Masna says, Afil b'krach she'donim v'horgin bo. Even if you're in a place place where they do have fair trials and whatever it may be, still you need to be afraid. Sometimes they could really have it out for you, and there's not going to be anyone who's going to be able to defend you, and you are going to be stuck in a bad situation. So if someone goes into a bathhouse, they should say, so you should make this prayer. It seems to be very dangerous to be going into a bathhouse, because Chazal Rashi explains that the way that bathhouses used to work in the Gemara is that they would be over a large pit, meaning there'd be a bunch of boards standing over a large pit, and if the boards broke or if something cracked, you would fall down and it would be very dangerous. So you made this tefillah to make sure you stayed safe, and you said, let my death be a kapara for all my sins if I do die. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, lo lema inishach, you should not be saying this, what happens if you die, that it should be a kapara, lo liftach, because we don't want to give the satan an opening and say, oh, you're going to die. Okay, I'm going to kill you. We shouldn't give incentive to the satan. We shouldn't even give possibilities of things that can happen to us to the satan. Because the pasuk is talking about that had Hashem not left us a small remnant, we would have been like Sodom and we would have been like Gomorrah. This is what it says in Yeshaya. And then the Navi then says, you guys are like Sodom, because they opened up their mouth and said something about them being like Sodom, so they are considered like Sodom right after that. Kinafki maiva omer, my omer. So when you leave the bathhouse, what should you say? Amar Rav Acha, modani lefanecha Hashem Elokai she'tzaltani min ha'or. So you should thank Hashem that he saved you from the fire. The way they used to heat the bathhouse is that there was some sort of fire underneath there, something, again, to be careful. Rabbi Abahu al lebei bani. So Rabbi Abahu entered this public bathhouse. Ap ifchis bei bani mutute. So the bathhouse gave way, and many, they looked like they were all going to fall into this pit. It was something which was very dangerous. Rachish le Nisa, and a miracle happened. Kam alamuda, he was left standing on one pillar. Shiziv mea v'chad gavre b'chad evre. And he was holding on to 101 people just by his arm alone. Rashi explains that he was holding on to someone who's holding on to someone. There was a whole chain of people that he was saving. Amar and Rabbi Abahu then said, Hainu Dervacha, this is what Ravacha was talking about when we were saying that you got to be very careful in the bathhouse. Now, says the Gemara, a tefillah that when dealing with keeping one's health. So if someone goes to bloodlet, they should say, that this service that I'm doing should serve me as a refuah and should heal me, because you are the healer, you Hashem are the healer, because it's only the place of people to go and seek some sort of treatment, but ultimately you are the one who's going to cure people. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, lo lema inishach, you shouldn't say this part, that we don't ever go to doctors, because the pasuk says that you should go and provide for healing, you should pay for the victim's medical expenses if you damage someone. We see from here that doctors are allowed to treat people, and there is such thing as a physician. So there's a big sugi about doctors and their role and how exactly it works. Maybe we see that they're allowed to get paid for that. Okay, big question now for us right now. So when you stand up and when you are feeling better after receiving treatment, what do you say? Blessed are you, Hashem, the free healer. This is Daf Samach Amar Aleph. Have a wonderful day.